Welcome to Power Play. On the day the new conservative leader launched his 30-month mission to beat Justin Trudeau in the next election and become the Prime Minister of Canada. But first, well, there's a few other pressing priorities to deal with. First stop, a chat with his 98 other MPs to rally them behind a leader few expected would finish on top in Saturday night's squeaker vote.
In the challenges to come, I will need you. Our party will need you. Staying united is the only way we will defeat Justin Trudeau in 2019.
Well, then, to his first question period as official opposition leader, where he took aim at the Trudeau government, even while the Prime Minister was getting a papal blessing at the Vatican.
If the Prime Minister doesn't think that there's something wrong, that shows just how out of touch he is. His misguided economic policies are hitting people hard right now. He's hiking payroll taxes, making it harder for young people and new entrants into the workforce to find jobs. He's made it harder to save for retirement. He's nickel and diming Canadians on everything from textbooks to bus passes. Why can't the Prime Minister understand that this high tax, high spending agenda hurts the very people that he claims to help? Right?
We will have the view from some of his former opponents and look at the challenges ahead for the Conservatives from our strategist and press gallery. We'll also bring you the latest from Trudeau's tour, which included today's meeting at the Vatican, where he asked Pope Francis to apologize for the church's involvement in the Indigenous residential schools. We'll also dip into yesterday's NDP leaders debate and the government's latest help for African famine relief. But first, some call him Andrew Hu, some think he's Harper 2.0. The historians look at him as one of the youngest MPs ever elected and the youngest speaker in history. Congratulations.
Thank you.
I'm told there's 8 rooms in Stornoway, so there's room for you and all those kids. 5 kids, so they're all going to have their own room.
We might have to ask the NCC to move some of the more valuable things and put it in storage because my kids can do some damage.
I can imagine. You did this opening theme to your caucus meeting today, Walking on Sunshine by Katrina and the Waves. I wonder if that reflects something by what you're bringing to this party as the new leader, because after all, that song was like recorded when you were 4 years old.
Well, you know, I wanted to set the tone that it's the Conservative Party of Canada has great ideas. We've got great policies. Our government saw us through the very worst recession since the Great Depression. We balanced the budget. We cut taxes. We created over 1 million net new jobs. But we need to find a way to connect with Canadians. And I've always said throughout the entire campaign that Conservatives have such a positive message. We improve the lives of hardworking Canadians. We create the prosperity, the conditions for the private sector to create the prosperity. We should be upbeat and happy about what we're offering Canadians.
So that's the problem. Stephen Harper just couldn't do it with a smile. He looked like he had a frown all the time.
No, you know, it's not time to look back. It's time to look forward. And I think that's what I can offer our party and our caucus. And I'm very honored to have their support. And I believe I can take the very best of our policies and put it forward to Canadians in a way that will resonate with more people.
Interesting unity move today. You've moved all your former rivals to the front bench and they're asking questions. So is that step one and what's going to be a unity process?
Do you know the 12 candidates that ran in, against me in the race all had a great campaign and they brought people to the party. We grew our party membership from about 80,000 people to 260 some odd thousand people. We had a very high percentage of our voters turn out and participate in the process, and our fundraising numbers are very, very encouraging. So I wanted to showcase that, the abilities that they had, to show the people that joined the party because of their campaigns that they are going to play an important role in our caucus and ultimately in government.
All right, the Liberals do not want you to have all sunshine. They want to throw some darkness at you. So they're attacking, obviously, the fact that social conservative candidates were key to your success on Saturday night. Brad Troost and Pierre Lemieux, it looks to us like most of their support went to you as the ballots fell away. How do you keep them pacified without actually doing anything that they want you to do?
Well, that's a very nice false dichotomy that you presented there, Don. And, you know, it's no surprising, you know, that the Liberals don't have much right now, and so they press that tired old button of throwing these kind of mean-spirited attacks and trying to raise the specter of things that that they want to, you know, the fear-mongering that they're quite used to doing.
Right.
But, you know, the theme of my campaign was finding the common ground and all the different kinds of conservatives. And, you know, I received a lot of second ballot choices from candidates like Lisa Raitt and Michael Chong. And, you know, if you look at the other types of conservatives in our caucus, there's room for everyone. It's all about finding the common ground and saying, look, there are some issues that if we bring up or if the leader tries to initiate debates or topics on them, that it's going to cause division within our own party. So let's leave those aside. Let's work on the things we can agree with. That's how we're going to win in 2019.
Okay, I saw the list of as some social conservative groups want. You've already ruled them out, some of them. Like, you're not going to introduce a legislation to roll back the right for a woman to have an abortion. You're not changing gay rights or anything. But you are looking at yanking university funding if you feel freedom of speech is compromised. Where's the line going to be? Who's going to be the judge of whether, they've shown freedom of speech being thwarted, or whether it's a legitimate call to call down a hate speech and not let that go forward?
Well, hate speech is covered under the criminal code, so right there's an easy threshold. The Liberals have already acknowledged that you can use federal grants to achieve a social policy goal. They're using it to enhance diversity on campuses, and they're going to withhold funding for universities that don't reach that threshold. So I want to do that for free speech. I think we can both agree, I think most Canadians would agree, that it's not right when student groups want to have a guest speaker come in or form a campus club or bring in a former prime minister of Israel, and these radical protesters come in and shut it down and physically and violently. We're not talking about counter-protest. That's legitimate. Mm-hmm. That's fine. But where they prevent these conversations from even happening, universities should be the place where ideas are contested, where orthodoxy is challenged. And I don't like to see this rabid political correctness shut down other points of view. It's very intolerant to not even hear points of view on issues. And, people who have criticized the policy will always use this very extreme example. But that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about mainstream groups trying to bring in people to advocate for a point of view. Those are the types of people that are being shut down. I think all Canadians would agree that that shouldn't happen. So that's what this policy is aimed at.
Can you constitutionally do that, sort of cherry pick a university and say,
it's all about the research grant. So there's already a set of criteria, and the Liberals are adding one with the diversity target. So I'll add one with, making sure that radical groups can't shut down these debates. It's a very progressive idea that doesn't pick sides of the spectrum, but upholds the fundamental principle. We should be able to talk about things in Canada.
We were talking before we went on air, you're going to wait the summer to pick your caucus assignments for your MPs, is that right?
That's right. I gave a message to my caucus this morning that I wanted to underline two things. First of all, the great job that our critics have been doing while this campaign has been going on. You've seen some great displays in the House of Commons where we've really forced the Liberals to be held accountable for some of their broken promises, the spiraling deficits, the refusal to answer simple questions. I want to finish this session strong. I want to keep that momentum going and then take the summer to put the team in place, the program in place that will lead us to victory in 2019.
Justin Trudeau made a big thing about women, having women in the front and half of his cabinet. Do you see a strong woman on the front? Do you see a deputy leader that could be a woman, that sort of thing?
I know you're trying to get a sneak peek on some of these roles.
You're not going to let me have that, eh?
We've got great women, and we've got great women who've done a great job, and they've done it because they have earned the right to be there, and they've done it with their hard work, with their great ideas, with their passion for conservative beliefs and ideals. And absolutely, I've got almost a luxury of riches here to choose. It's going to be difficult decisions because we've got so many of them to choose from. We've got great, hardworking women who advocate for their issues very passionately.
One thing that I think people notice at the convention, and certainly it shows up in the voting, is that you need a lot more millennial voters, the young voters to come in. And yet some of your policies are not exactly youth-friendly. You're against pot and decriminalization of pot and carbon pricing. Some of the young people tend to be more environmentally sensitive than the old guys like me and that sort of thing. How do you reach out to them and make them come into the Conservative Party?
Well, what I'm going to spend the next 30 months doing is exposing what I call the lie of the left, that the very people that they claim to help are hurt the most by these policies. So when the Liberals increase payroll taxes, I'm sure some young people aren't thinking about CPP rates of return, but they are concerned when businesses start laying people off because the payroll taxes mean that they can't afford the staff that they have. And when businesses cut back on hours or lay people off or reduce shifts, the first people that suffer are young people, new entrants into the workforce, people who haven't been there for years and years. So that's the message that I have to take to young people and say, look, sunny ways don't pay the bills. You have to have opportunities. It's conservative policies that create the conditions for prosperity, and we'll all benefit thanks to that.
I assume you're going to spend the summer on the road. Is that a fair comment? I mean, what's your message going to be as you roll out? You got to get known, I guess.
Yeah, that's part of it. I've never been afraid of hard work. When I first got the Conservative nomination in 2004, I was going up against a 34-year veteran from the NDP, and everyone said, that seat was unwinnable. I hit the ground running. I put a team in place. I worked very, very hard. I'm confident I can do that on a much larger scale because I've got such a great team behind me and that are going to help me.
All right, you're going to see a lot of Canada. Again, congratulations. You gave us a pretty exciting convention there. We didn't all see that one coming.
Prove some of the pundits wrong.
Yeah, well, it proved Mr. Bernier wrong. Anyway, appreciate your time. Andrew Scheer, congratulations.
Thank you.
Coming up, we have two rivals who lost their bid for the Conservative crown, but we'll ask them how the party can reunify starkly different positions inside that party tent. Lisa Raitt and Brad Trost are after these messages. Please stay with us. Okay, welcome back. Job one for the new leader is cobbling together a united opposition powerhouse from very different sides of the Conservative spectrum. Consider my next guests as Exhibit A, two leadership candidates with polar opposite positions on some issues. Milton MP Lisa Raitt finished eighth as a voice of moderation on social issues. Brad Trost finished fourth as the advocate for social conservative views, and they both joined me in the studio. You've recovered okay?
Everything's yeah, pretty
fine?
Much.
Pretty
yeah.
relaxed.
Everything is good.
It was a pretty happy convention, I thought, at the end. But, you know, there are still problems ahead, I'm sure. I guess, Lisa, I want to start with you in the sense that you finished behind two social conservative candidates, and everyone looks at you as sort of the face of moderation on this party. I wonder, do you sense moderation could get overtaken by social conservative views? How do you think they're going to deal with that?
No, because, you know, Michael Chong and Aaron O'Toole also place very high.